last time that we spoke, you had just released your Brahms by Heart album, and now you've sort of taken on the Mount Everest of the string quartet repertoire mm-hmm. with these quartets by Béla Bartók, yeah. again playing them entirely from memory. So, first of all, congratulations on that achievement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It seems like a long road from Brahms to Bartók, but I'm curious, why did you choose to take on Bartók after completing your Brahms album?
Well, we chose Bartók because we've always felt an affinity for his quartets since the beginning of our career, and we wanted to do something that was really exciting and would push us to new levels, and so we decided to do something that we could not imagine doing at all. And I remember the reactions when it was floated that we should play the Bartók cycle by heart. There was several variants of, are you kidding me? around the room. And then we thought about it and realized that it made the most sense, even though it was going to be incredibly difficult. And it has proven to be as difficult as we imagined, but it turned out to be possible.
Well, how much time and effort did you have to spend on this project? I mean, was it all-consuming for you, or was this just something that you did along with everything else that you do as a quartet?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, because life doesn't stop because you pick up a big project to do, as I'm sure you understand. So we've had, many other concerts with much other repertoire all throughout this. But the process of recording these pieces by memory and then performing them has taken up a significant part of over 2 years of our work. And so it's really amazing actually to see it finally kind of come to culmination.
Yeah, and it's a great recording, I should say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The quartets of Bartók spread out over 30 years, really,
mm-hmm. Right.
That he wrote these pieces. Now, if you go and you look at the quartets, say, of Beethoven, you can trace a real development there over the years. Talk a little bit about Bartók's style in these quartets and maybe how they evolved or how they're similar or
yes.
different from each other.
Yeah. Well, when he first started out with the first quartet, I think he was very much influenced by Debussy, Wagner, all the greats. And you can really hear that in the sounds. But as it goes along, it's not quite Wagner and Debussy. It's still Bartók. For instance, in the first quartet, he uses a direct quote from one of the folk melodies that he recorded. The song is called Fly, Peacock, Fly. And we've been actually playing this recording for our audiences when we play the first quartet. And it's kind of amazing to see the kind of the expression on the audience's faces when they hear the recording, because it's such an amazing song. So, you go from there and then, you go to the third quartet where he's third and fourth, where he's, happy. He's in his prime. He's, in his kind of greatest kind of the heights of a composer, just young and kind of composing away. But then you get to, the end, the sixth quartet, and he wrote this at a very later part in his life, after he left his home country, and you can really feel the sadness and the kind of tiredness that comes from that, and it's an amazing journey. I mean, it's kind of a blessing for us to be able to play all six, and to really kind of go through life as Bartók did with these quartets. It's pretty amazing.
I've always, in listening to them and in listening to your recording in particular, I notice a lot of kind of the light and the dark side of Bartók going on. And he always treads that line between familiar and unfamiliar. You sort of feel like you're in a forest, maybe on an unknown path, but you've seen trees before. You've seen everything before.
Right.
But it's taking you somewhere new.
That's a great description.
And it's a really interesting recording. I have to say my favorite, if I were to pick one, would be Quartet No. 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's very witty. It's very mercurial. Lots of little musical things there that grab your ear.
Yes.
And so if I could just go through the three of you, asking you, do you have a favorite part or favorite parts of this recording?
I would say I agree with you. I love the fifth quartet. I love the fourth quartet as well. But the movement that really strikes me is in the fifth quartet. It's the second movement, which is the first of two kind of slow movements. There's something about, I agree with you, that Bartok takes, it's always a little bit unexpected. And I really love the way he juxtaposes, you know, music that is often inspired by very kind of raw, kind of intense, sort of almost what feels like elemental early human energy, you know, that he maybe feels from these folk, you know, folk dances. And then juxtaposes them with something so human in the sense of vulnerable and beautiful. And, you know, you never know what's coming next, but the way that he contrasts these kinds of music, and then you end up suddenly turning a corner and it's this most stunning landscape that you just didn't expect. And for me, the second movement of the fifth quartet does that.
Yeah, yeah. Do the other two of you want to weigh in on that question?
Yes. How much time do you have? No. You asked the question. I haven't thought about it quite that way before, but and so I wouldn't have chosen a favorite before you said that, but thinking about it, there are moments that have been important in my life as a chamber musician. I remember the first time that I heard the third movement of the fifth quartet. I think it's one of the most extraordinary dances ever written. And it's totally inconceivable to listen to. You can't count it very easily, but yet you can tap your foot to it, and it has a hilarious ending. But then the moment that, as I've gotten to know the quartets more and more, the moment that really gets me is the end of the whole cycle, the end of the sixth quartet. That piece is written in sort of it's a pretty simple form, especially for Bartok. You have four movements, but the first movement has an introduction, a slow introduction, and then fast movement, a dance movement. The second movement has a slow introduction and a dance movement. The third movement has a slow introduction and a dance movement. The fourth movement has a slow introduction, and then it ends. And the way he ends with the question mark is so sad. I used to play that ending on some of my favorite recordings of the quartets over and over.
Yeah, you paint a beautiful picture of that that music. Hey, Jung, what about you? Do you have a preference?
Yeah, third quartet was the first Bartok quartet that I learned as a student at Juilliard. And because it was the first one, I was just so captivated by it. I love, and I still love it. I think it's so vivacious and full of life. And But as we got to play the cycle, actually the first time that we played the cycle, actually not by memory, with music, I remember getting to the last movement, as Greg said, of the sixth quartet, and I was really overcome by the emotional kind of gravity of the movement, and it actually reminded me of the feeling that I had actually when I left South Korea when I was 7 years old. And it was like a very emotional kind of moment for me to kind of see that parallel of, you know, leaving everything behind that you love and you care for. So it was definitely at that moment I realized, wow, this is an amazing, amazing journey, the whole cycle, but this movement is also an amazing movement.
Well, the way that the three of you talk about Bartok's music puts me in mind of the title of the album, Bartok by Heart. And that term means, you know, memorized, but it also means something more than that, an emotional connection that you obviously have to this music. Can you talk a little bit about your individual memorization processes? I mean, did you work together to memorize this? Did you work on your own or in combination? And what was the biggest challenge for you in trying to learn this music by heart?
Right. Well, we did all of the things that you just said. we have to work on our own quite a bit, both before we work together and also all along as we work together. You know, so next week and the week after, we're playing CD release events where we play all six quartets over two nights in New York and in Chicago. And, you know, no matter how much we've learned these pieces, no matter how many times we've performed them, playing all six in 2 days always requires a renewed commitment to, you know, the memory and to making sure that it's all there all at the same time. It's just a lot of notes to have in your head at once.
And maybe some adult diapers all around.
Adult diapers. Didn't put it that way, but I guess yes.
You have to have a little fun.
Exactly. So so we do a lot of work on our own, but when we then get together and we also study the score on our own and try to imagine everyone else's parts, but there is something about playing all together that is different. And so after we do that work on our own, we need to do a lot of work together, drilling spots that have been important as far as transitions or things that have been hard to memorize, and just remembering how it feels to be playing with one another.
Well, it's kind of like going on a space mission together. You know, you get in the capsule, and there you are, and you're locked in, and you're on your way.
That's true.
Yeah, and hopefully nobody dies.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, you've spoken a little bit about the challenges of making this recording. What was the easiest thing for you in this project?
Actually,
silence.
What?
Well, I think that probably the only way to answer that question is, what was easier playing it by heart than playing with music? Because there were a couple of things that were unexpectedly easy for, I think for the group, but definitely for me. The last movement of Bartok's fourth quartet is really difficult to play together at the beginning. It's easy to get lost. There are patterns of groups of three notes and two notes that at first and at 20th look seem random. And in order to memorize it, we needed to find actual patterns. And after a lot of work, we did find a way of thinking of it. This is the cello and viola part in particular, but also the fiddles at other parts. We did find ways of thinking of it that have patterns, and so that became easier to play from memory than it was to play with the music. And there's also, it's much easier to conceive of long-term connections, so how the thing you're playing now connects to 2 minutes later in the piece.
I mean, I think the whole thing you just said about by heart, we've actually been a little bit, I'm going to be very frank with you here, we've been a little bit feeling that we have to be very careful about this project, because there's certainly, you know, we've worried about this, and we know other people have worried about this, that this is just kind of about the attempt of doing this thing, or just trying to memorize. We really believe, for us, this gets us to a better place as far as being able to reach out to one another and play with heart. That's why we're doing it. Not that we believe this is the best thing for everybody or would be the best way for any group of four people to do it. But for us, the feeling in the recording of, you know, being forced to be a little bit more exposed and having to reach out to one another to feel safe, that's why we did it.
You feel a sense of liberation getting away from the score?
In the end,
So now, where do you go from here? I mean, you have Bartok. Are we going to have Shostakovich by heart? Is that your next project?
We had Brahms and Bartok, so it has to be a B composer.
Yeah.
No, okay. It doesn't.
Well, Bert Bacharach.
Right.
We have a bunch of ideas, but we haven't come to a decision, partially because, as Jonah mentioned, we're about to do the cycle in 2 days. a couple of times, and that's all-consuming. And so we'll be doing our planning after we've surfaced for air for the future. But the most immediate thing we have coming up is a concert pretty near to your listening area in Worcester, Ohio, on December 11th.
Okay.
So that'll be a good fun.
And this season's rep includes, besides Bartok, it includes other music by Hart, Benjamin Britten, Beethoven Opus 130 with the Grosse Fuge, some Mendelssohn, some Schubert. So we're certainly mixing it up.
You guys are busy.
Yep.
Yes.
Try to keep
That's
busy.
Good. It's good to be busy.
Yeah.
So we've been speaking with three members of the Kiara String Quartet, violinist Hae-Yung Julie Yoon, violist Jonas Sirota, and cellist Gregory Beaver. The Kiara Quartet's latest album is called Bartok by Hart, and that's available from Azika Records. You can find it also online at their website, kiaraquartet.net. And again, congrats to the three of you on your new album. And thanks for joining us here on FM 91.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having us.